crush it with everything you do in life. That is the power of the Home Business Radio Network.
Well, welcome back to the Zone, the Slight Edge Zone on the Home Business Radio Network. You know, I've had some amazing people on the Slight Edge Zone over the last couple of years that have inspired, elevated, have brought people to a level of understanding, have eliminated belief systems that were not empowering and increased their belief in things that did empower them. And I've had amazing guests. But today, I've got a guest I can't even believe is on the show. I mean, this is, for me, almost 30 years of being an entrepreneur. This gentleman, one of the books that he wrote many, many years ago, has impacted myself and impacted so many, many people. He's a guest today on the show. His name's Tom Hopkins. And I got to tell you, he's considered the number one sales trainer in the world, and we're going to talk about how that happened, why he got that title. But he's written over 14 books. He's spoken in many countries. As a matter of fact, he averages once a week, over 60 times a year, he's doing seminars in some part of the world. Like I said, he's got 14 books. He's done some amazing things. Even as when he was very, very young, it broke records in sales. And he's dedicated his life. He's dedicated the last three-plus decades in helping people, empowering people. And today we're going to be talking about a new book that Tom had come out with. It's When Buyers Say No. And this is an amazing book. It actually comes from another book he wrote as our economy has shifted here in the last several years. And he talked about, you know, in tough times. He wrote a book on that, and we'll talk about that. The book I read, Mastering the Art of Selling, back many, many years ago, impacted myself. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on his bio. Most of you listening to entrepreneurs have heard of Tom, have maybe watched a YouTube video of Tom, read some of his books, because once again, 14 of them. But I want Tom to come on the show. I want him to share the story. And we're going to discuss some topics today that I absolutely know are going to change some lives around the world as they listen to the show on the Slight Edge Zone. So with that, Tom Hopkins, my friend, it is an amazing pleasure for me. I cannot tell you how humbled and appreciative I am to have you on the Slight Edge Zone today. Welcome to the show, and I'm just excited to spend this time with you today. How are you doing?
Oh, Tony, it's so nice to be on your show and to talk to entrepreneurs and people that are taking risks out there every day and, in a way, putting their egos on the line and have to handle this word no, which we're going to talk about today. This is great. This is exciting. Let's have fun, and let's let these people listening walk away with so many ideas that they can apply to have a better life, a greater income, and have a more fun on a daily basis.
As we get into your story, Tom, that you know you've been considered the number one sales trainer in the world, and I know that you got that back way early in your career. Why don't we share with the listeners here, and up to 200 countries at any given moment listening in, just you know how that came about, and just a little bit about your story. We're going to get into the book, and we're going to get into the meat of it. I know who you are. I've read your books. I've been around for a long time. Many people may not, and the ones that don't, I want them to know who Tom Hopkins is.
Well, my story is kind of an oddity in a way because after carrying steel as an iron worker in construction, having not gone to college, having no really, you know, education per se, I found that after a year in construction, I wanted to do something else. And fortunately, my father suggested I think about real estate. And luckily, I got into the real estate business. I was 19. I got into an office where they had a good manager, and I found my niche. And I hope the folks listening will realize that one of the happiest times in your life is when you take your talents, your skills, and you find the niche where they fit. And that's what happened with me. I found that I could help people own a home. I could help them say yes to investing in property. And so I worked my little tail off, and Tony and I set records. And the last year, I sold 365 homes, and that was in 1 year. So if you look at the average, I averaged one home closed sale a day, which had never been done. And so right away, of course, all organized real estate said, we must talk to this young man. So all of a sudden, my phone starts ringing, and all of a sudden, I'm living on a plane every week, going somewhere in the world, teaching people this wonderful art form. And it is an art form to help people say yes when they want to say no.
Wow. No, that is powerful. And we're going to be talking about the book. And I tell you, I got a pad of paper here, Tom, with comments and notes. And I'm just, I don't want to write, the book is too pretty. I don't want to write in the book.
But
I do have a legal pad, and I've got some great things on that. one thing, you know, and I realized, I looked at your schedule over the next 60 days, and you're like in a different continent, different country almost every week throughout May and June, I noticed. So even today, after 3 decades of doing what you've been doing, you're still out there doing the thing, really getting with people on the front line and giving them help and giving them empowering concepts and everything you've learned, you're giving them every single week, it seems like. I mean, you've been doing this consistently. Let's talk a little bit about what drives you on that. Why are you still doing what you, I mean, it's amazing. Your work ethic is unbelievable.
Well, and you know, Tony, what's funny, that is probably the most often question I'm asked when people get to know me, and they know my situation financially, they know when, how many years I've done it, and they say, Tom, why every week do you get on a plane and fly somewhere in the world? And I'll level with you, I believe that if God gives you a talent, a skill, and you can deliver, that you have almost an obligation to continue it. And that's one reason why I love doing the seminars. I can still command the respect of an audience. I can deliver with 5 hours of real strength and energy. So I'm not going to ever retire. People go, well, are you ever going to retire? I go, no way. Retirement is a fancy name for an early death. And if you study actuary tables by insurance companies, they will show you, most people don't want to do this, but people that retire and have no creativity, no excitement, no thrust in their intellect, they die 7 years earlier than those people that keep working, keep focused, keep out there doing the job. So I want to live a long life, and I love what I do, so I'll probably never retire.
Boy, I love that. I read How to Master the Art of Selling, and I forget what it sold, but what, a million, million and a half, 2 million copies now worldwide?
Yeah, we're approaching 2 million copies now, and yeah, that book set the stage for me, Tony. I was, you know, 27 years of age. I was ready to leave listing and selling properties, and I said, I'm going to write a book. It took me 3 years. But that darn book set the stage for everything, and the other 13 have done well. The new one that we're going to talk about, When the Buyer Says No, is very exciting for me because that's when persuasion starts. Not when they listen, not when you meet them. It's when they say no to something you've said, and that's when you have to be a master of how do you get the no to become the yes.
You're absolutely right. And I mean, I've got this notepad in front of me, and there's some concepts here that I wrote down that just jump right out at me. The last book, Selling in Tough Times, it was important that that book was written, and because of the changes that we're dealing with. But this book, you get into the circle of persuasion. Two of the things that jumped out at me, buyers don't want to be sold anything. I love that. People don't necessarily want to be sold, but they love to buy. Salespeople fear rejection and failure. There's two major concepts that I pulled immediately from the book, is that if you're a salesperson or if you're home business, if you have a direct selling company, you're an entrepreneur, you have a basket business, whatever it is, if your responsibility is to market or sell a product or build a business or build an online presence or whatever it is, you've got to be able to sell you, and no one wants to be rejected. I mean, let's just face it. So salespeople have to deal with that, and then buyers don't want to be sold. So you really have broken things down in this book to a level of understanding that if someone pays attention to it, they could literally take that as a blueprint, in my opinion, and could become a master if they wanted to in any business endeavor if they understand the sales process, the building rapport process, along with the circle of persuasions. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, number one, you talk about there's so many meanings in the book of no. I mean, what does no really mean? And I love that you were talking about the different meanings. And see, the word perception is interesting because to me, what you perceive, whether you think you can, whether you think you can't, you're right. It's a perception. So what does the perception of no mean? You have an understanding of it. And I love it. I think this is such an amazing concept you talk about in the book.
Well, first of all, one of the reasons that I joined Ben Cott, who is my co-author on this book, is, you know, I study and read, and so I read this darn book on Circle of Persuasion, and he and I met at a big seminar, and I analyzed what he taught, and I said, you know what I teach to the people in marketing and sales and direct sales, what I teach and what he has done with this circle of persuasion is such a beautiful fit So that's when I flew and met him, and I said, Ben, let's combine what you do and what I do, and I think we're going to really help the entrepreneur out there trying to build their business. And so we, of course, got together, and our writers worked with us, and our publishers worked with us. What's exciting, and, you know, having had all these other books out there and been doing this for over 30 years, it was so exciting to see how people are taking this book, the interaction that we're receiving from people that are saying, man, I've had the challenge with no all my life, and now I know it's a game. I'm going to learn to play the game of rejection, the game of no, and in doing so, I'll build a very successful business. It's interesting that I understand in doing some studying on your company and what you do and your radio program that, you know, many of your listeners are women, which is fabulous. And I'll just give you a quick statistic, Tony, that when I started doing seminars over 30 years ago, I'd walk out in front of an audience and there'd be 5%, maybe 7% of the audience would be women. And, of course, I think that the reason for that was that back then, the entrepreneur, the salesperson, the marketing person, they were men. But today, I swear, the audience is almost 50-50, men versus women, which I love because I don't think there's an opportunity for a greater income than building your own home-based or direct-selling business. And, of course, it's perfect for the average woman today. So I was thrilled when I read all your background that you're adding this to the lives of so many women that want to be entrepreneurs, make money, and not have a boss determine what their income is by their skills. So I'm thrilled that we can share this.
It's a great topic that you bring up because 70% of the listeners here are women. Many of them, they multitask, Tom. They do so much. And a woman's role in the typical average household is huge. Raising a family, typically multiple jobs, supporting. My wife always says, we've got five kids. She said, no, we got six, because I'm the sixth one.
And, that's
you know, it's what they do, the job, the multitasking, the effort, the time, then they have the opportunity to go out and build, we'll say, their own dream as well. And they're good at it. But what I found is that women have seem to have a better sense of building rapport, and they have an easier way to build social relationships. And especially home business, it's all about relationships. It's the key to everything here. And so Circle of Persuasion, what you're talking about in the book, building rapport, I believe that many women do it more natural than men. That's just, you know, I'm going to probably get a few emails on that one. but it's okay. I mean, you realize that it's amazing that people can go out there and live their dream, even though they're doing the things. And with technology today, they can raise a family. They can work from home. And you can have a global empire. You're just like us right now. I mean, just imagine this interview, up to 200 different countries represented and listening in. As long as they have an internet connection, they can literally be impacted or inspired by Tom Hopkins and your experience and what you've done over the last 3+ decades. And when you understand that, that is huge. But as we go into it, one of the things that you said that really impacted me, and anybody listening, please write this down. Get the book, of course, but write this down. Is no, it's not. It's a guidepost. It's not a stop sign. It's a perception of what no is to the person. It's a guidepost. It helps you along the process of communicating with another human being. I loved how you were talking about that. And maybe we could talk a little bit about that, because that is so important, is the perception of a home business person, a salesperson, real estate person, insurance person. I don't care what it is that you sell, including yourself, because people buy you first, Tom, right?
Exactly.
It's how you look at no. What does it mean? And I love the fact that you identified it as a guidepost, not, you know, not a stop sign, not this red sign, done, it's over. You know, I love that.
Well, and here's the sad truth. To the average person that's not trained, they believe that the no is the end. And that's one reason why I'm so thrilled about the book, because the no is the beginning. And here's some facts I want to just throw out there. All my years out in the street of sales before I wrote my book, all those years, I found a truth that the average American, we have to use averages, of course, but the average American, I'm sure this is true in every country, really can't say yes to spend money until they first come up with some type of no. So what I learned over the years is when I got the no is when everything started. So that's why when I wrote the book, I said, when they say no is the beginning, not the end. If you know exactly the strategies to use to nicely, sincerely, with empathy, help them go from the no into the yes. So that's one reason why I guess I'm happier and more thrilled about this book than any I've written in many years, because it seems to be hitting the tone that people need today. We are in a world where the average consumer, based on today's life, they can invest on the internet, they can find everything they need. Technically, they don't need to rely on a person, but I also believe that the average American would like to do business with a person, not just electronic transaction. So that's why I think learning how to handle rejection, handle the word no, is going to help people who might have been afraid to build their own business, open up a business, and do extremely well.
Perception, it's such a powerful word because your perception can be your reality. But here's the good news. You can change your perception. You can adjust it. You can change it. And I learned strategies and skills, some from you over the years, on how to look at word. And I know there's a lot of meanings for the word no. And giving people empowering or disempowering beliefs obviously will hurt you, but to give them new beliefs, to change those limiting beliefs that they may have. Let's talk about the potential meaning for the word no you talk about in the book. And also,
okay,
you know, this is a really important question. Why is it that people give up so quickly after the first no they get, when in reality most opportunities, as you say in the book, come after the first no, not before?
Well, and I'll tell you one of the reasons for this. Many people don't play the right game with the word no. Now, let me illustrate on that, Tony. To me, life is nothing but a big fun game. All of us play it every day. We suit up, we go out, and we do what we have to do to earn a living and support our families and so forth. But I also believe that in the field of sales, marketing, entrepreneurship, building a business, there are going to be people you talk with that will say no. So I like people to make a game of it. Now, I'll show you how the game is played, and I'm going to use generalities, which is all we can use in an example like this. But let's just say that a person sits down and does some figuring and analyzes that when they, in their sales or marketing business, get a yes, which means they get the check, which means they've closed the transaction, let's just say, and I'll use an example here, they make $100. So the $100 now is what a yes is worth. And then let's figure out that maybe we have to talk to 5 qualified people to get one yes. Well, what that means is we're going to have 5 people we talk to. 4 will give us that two-letter word no, but 1 will give us the yes. Well, if we're earning $100, now for some people listening, it could be $500, could be $1,000. But if we use this formula, we take the one yes we get that earns us 100, then we take the 4 rejections, the 4 no's, and divide it into the 100. Now we've put a dollar value on the word no, so each no is now worth $25. So instead of getting down when you get told no, you kind of smile to yourself and say, hey, thanks for the 25. So I try to teach people in going into a business, find out what the yes is worth. How many no's do we have to get? Then come up with what the no is actually worth on the journey to the yes.
That is really, really powerful. And one of the things that you see a lot is when someone does hear the word no, their response most of the time, well, pretty much all the time, unless they've learned from you, which is discouraging, it can be disappointing, it certainly can disempower people, and then they stop moving forward. And well, you know, how do you keep people going after hearing the no? And that's a double-sided question, because listeners, I mean, everybody listening to the show, when you get the book, he explains in detail how to keep yourself going, how to work your mindset. It's very important. But let's just talk about that. What strategies have you found are effective there, Tom?
Sure. The circle of persuasion, which is the actual process of taking the no into the maybes, into okay, we'll look at it, and then finally into a yes, this is a beautiful process. And it's something that I think many people aren't even aware of, that let's go back to that first premise. Most people won't make an investment in anything till they first give you a no. So the no is the starting point. That's why the book is titled When the Buyer Says No. But then you have to keep it going. So you do certain things. Like, let me give you a couple strategies. One strategy that I used over the years is when a buyer said, you know, Tom, I know we like it and we should do this, but I think we just have to say no. I used to smile and say, you know, John, my manager is a very good leader, and he is going to want to know what I did wrong, why you didn't say yes when it looks like you should. Can you help me with why you're saying no? Now, all that does, Tony, is get them opening up, talking. And oftentimes I had them start talking and say, you know what, really, maybe we should do this. And I again turned the no into the yes. And so again, so much of it is strategy, so much of it is knowing where you're going to take them next. So blaming the manager for why you've got to know why they said no is a great little strategy to open them up. And then, of course, apologizing. That's another great strategy. John, Mary, let me say one thing to you. Based on all the happy people I've served, you seem to be one of those that should say yes to this. And now you're saying no. And I have to ask you, would you help me? What did I say or what did I do wrong so I don't do it again? Can you give me some help? Another great strategy.
Those are phenomenal. You know, I was thinking about it. How do you help? These are great strategies, but how do you help keep the conversation moving? One of the things that is something that you wrote about in the book, and it's based on persistence. You know, when you look at top performance, and on the Slight Edge Zone here, we have had top performers in the home business profession. We've had top athletes, former heavyweight boxing champion. You know, we've had gentlemen from the Celtics, Greg Kite. These are champions, top of their game at some point. But there's something that you talked about. Persistence by the top performers. They didn't give up on the sale too soon. In other words, I think they realized that was just the beginning. I mean, it's, once again, that no is a guidepost, so it kind of leads you down. But what about keeping it going, the conversation moving, where it doesn't become awkward? To me, it's like built in at this point. And as you're looking to help serve people and you're looking at their needs, Tom, it's just easy to help guide. And maybe the timing isn't quite right there, but where most people fall short is they drop it off. It's a cliff that goes down and never opens again. They move on. Where pros keep the conversation going, build the relationship, they have strategies for that. And that's something you talk about in the book, which I love.
Well, and you're so right, Tony, that let's face it, if a baseball player hits over 300, which means they failed 7 times out of 10, they are worth millions of dollars getting 3 out of 10. So here again, they're being rejected from what they need to do to be successful at the home plate hitting the ball. But yet if they're only a third right, they're very, very successful folks. And if you analyze life, those that seem to end up with the most success went through a period of their life where they had to cope with failure. And that was definitely my case. I got into the real estate business at 19. The average person in my office was 40. I was in 19. I didn't have any dress clothes. I didn't even have a car. I was on a motorcycle. So I had everything you can think of going wrong. And fortunately, like you, we talked about this earlier, you searched out people. You searched out a Napoleon Hill. You searched out an Earl Nightingale. Earl Nightingale lived a mile and a half from my home, and we became very dear friends. And these men were giants. And I think people that aren't giants need to find giants, find mentors, find men, women that you respect. People listening right now, I know you have people in your company, the highest income earners, the top producers. You need to do your best to find out what they're doing. When I was brand new in real estate, Tony, I found out a woman, her name was Rose Lane. And Rose Lane back, this is the mid-60s, was the highest income earning person in the field of real estate in all of California. And I called her. I said, Mrs. Lane, my name is Tom Hopkins. I'm 19. I'm brand new. I would love to just see what you do because you've done so well. And she was so delightful. That's another thing, Tony, I've learned. Great people that are successful want to help others achieve greatness. And so she said, meet me here. We'll go out. I'll show you what I say on a listing. I'll show you what I say when I show a home. And she mentored me. And I was like a sponge, Tony. I took every word she said. I listened to what she did. And sure enough, it took me 3 years. But all of a sudden, I became the top person in California selling homes. So I guess the point I'm getting at is we all have to find those that have done what we want to do, emulate them, make them mentors, listen to shows like yours that you bring on people who are proven in their industry. I mean, I heard the names of the folks you've had already, and these folks are getting to listen to people who are on pedestals in our country of success. What a wonderful way to grow. Find those that have grown, and they'll help you grow too.
You're giving me goosebumps. What you've been talking about here just the last 2 or 3 minutes is very powerful. It's sage advice. It's unbelievable in simplicity, but power is just there. And it's so true. The world is always growing on a master apprenticeship type of relationship. And this is no different in sales of any kind, certainly direct selling, because there are people, if you're in a direct selling company, that have a vested interest in you. So they're going to want to give you their knowledge. But
sure,
people aren't taught this. There's not a class in school, unfortunately, that, like, how do I go out and find a mentor one-on-one?
Right.
And the fact that they can only find mentors live, like you did, like I have done, but today with the technology, with YouTube, with Home Business Radio Network, which could not have existed back when I read the book, one of the first book you wrote, that, you know, when I read that back in the, it must have been early 90s, this type of technology did not exist today. So it here's today. So people, as we talk about the Home Business Radio Network, we are your surrogate mentor. We can, and these shows become mentorships for people if they want to show up, but they have to be willing to show up. And as we talk about the no process, some people, they get focused and they get their perception. I keep going back to perception of no. One thing I learned was is that there's no failure; it's all practice. And when
exactly.
When you've dealt with enough professional athletes, that's absolutely the case. You know, people see, you know, someone like a Gary Player who goes out there on the golf course and he does a phenomenal job, but they don't see him stroking the ball 1,000 times before people are getting up and blisters on his hands from the practice, the work that went into it. And really, everything is practice. So there really is no failure. There's a reason for everything. You learn from every process. And no, once again, is a guidepost. So these perceptions that you've put into the book, in other words, or I shouldn't say perceptions, helping people eliminate the belief systems that are going to take them away from their goal and giving them really good, powerful examples to lead them towards their goal is so darn important. I can't say enough about that. So, you know, most opportunities obviously come after no, but without no, because be careful what you ask for. I learned this a long time ago. I love what Jim Rohn said. Jim Rohn says, look, don't ask for less problems. Ask for the ability to handle those problems. Ask for more capacity. Don't try to get rid. When we have no problems, as Og Mandino used to talk about, we're dead.
Yeah.
We have no problems anymore. And so, and I love what you said earlier in the show, and I want to point this out because it's so powerful. What you continue to do to give the best of you, and as you continue to give the best, you get better, you learn more, you put more together, and you're serving the greater good, but you're also being a servant. You're a great servant to your skill sets, and that's a good steward. And the fact that you see that as a responsibility is awesome. Very few people have ever been on the show have ever said anything like that, Tom. And I know where you're coming from. I believe exactly the same way you do. The more that we learn, the more that we can give, the more obligation we have to give to our brothers and sisters worldwide. I love that, and that servant leadership role. And I've had many great guests on the show. But like I said, that statement alone was very, very powerful. What's in your mind the most powerful chapter in the book that you just wrote?
Oh, boy, that's tough. You know, when you ask an author a question like that, I would say the most powerful one as far as I feel strategy to increase income is the chapter on negotiation. Because many people don't realize that the whole world, personal business, is negotiating your point of view. negotiating why you want someone to listen to you, negotiating why you feel you have something important for them to hear. And so if I had to choose a chapter, that would be the one that I would choose. But I also feel that, gosh, I'm so darn excited with the way this book has been received, Tony, that I just think from the beginning to the end, if people will apply it, and there again we have a challenge, you can take a horse to water but can't make him drink. People many times have CDs in their cars, which, of course, I love having people listen to me when they drive. But I also feel that you've got to apply it. Application is the key. And so anyone listening, if they do get the book, you'll see a little instruction page where I ask you to get a yellow felt pen to underline, highlight on each page those most important things that you feel. Because that way you can read a book of 300 pages, end up with maybe 50 pages that are all the huge pearls, and thus every year you don't have to read the whole book, you read the pearls.
Boy, that is, you know, that's a strategy in learning. It's so true. People get involved sometimes in personal development, and they, like myself, I'm a two-hour-a-day guy. I'll spend 2 hours a day sharpening my axe, learning, reading. I've been reading your book, of course, here over the weekend, and I've gone through. I watched some videos. I watched a video you did on YouTube. And so every day, about 2 hours a day, I invest in myself. Why
oh,
not?
That's fabulous.
Well, and I appreciate that, but it's the more I put in, the more I ask, the more I realize I don't know, the more I want to know, but the more I want to serve the many with the understanding and knowledge that I continue to grow with. And one of the things that you talk about, we talk about in the book, by the way, here's the thing. I want the listeners as well to know where, you know, they can find the book. I want to make sure that we cover that. I want them to get your book. I want them to get any books you have, because everything you've done to me is gold and diamonds. I mean, it's just the top notch, the best of the best. I'm not getting paid to say that. I'm not getting a spiff. I don't think you're going to send me a check at the end of the year, although if you wanted to, you could.
You sure aren't.
Yeah, exactly. So I know that, you know, but I'm saying it because that's how I feel, and that's, and the listeners know my heart. I share from the heart,
sure.
Totally. And this whole process of circle of persuasion and also rapport building, and at the end of the day, you know, relationships are all of it and everything. And people always do business, as you know, Tom, with people they know, preferably they like, and they
yes.
got to trust them. They
That's
won't do
right.
business with you, at least long term. And this rapport building process is such an amazing part of what you talk about. The book alone, just to teach people strategies on how to build better relationships. At 18, I was handed the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and it changed my life. And it allowed me to go out and build a business, allowed me to go out and build a business that was doing over $20 million a year in 2 years when I was 22 years old.
Wow.
And if it wasn't for those books, I was right. Even saying it to this day, I say that. And it wasn't just me, but if it wasn't for the strategies, you mentioned Earl Nightingale, and for those of you that have not don't know what The Stranger's Secret is, I'm not going to tell you what it is. You need to go and Google him on YouTube and get that little video and listen to him talk about The Stranger's Secret. And the ones that do know that, you're probably chuckling right now. That kind of material, your kind of material, what I read early on, understanding rapport, understanding how to build relationships, understanding how to listen, seeking first to understand the person that you're talking with versus just trying to get them to understand you.
Exactly.
And that communication process. And those are things I learned early on from masters like yourself that have impacted me. So let's talk, as we're winding down here on the interview, let's talk a little bit about rapport, why that's so important, what you've learned, and anything you want to talk about that you believe our listeners would benefit from. A totally open mic, your ideals, what you see in the economy today regarding sales and salespeople, women, of course, as we talked about earlier, anything else you want to talk about. But this rapport process is everything.
It really is. People put up defense barriers whenever they meet anybody. They are afraid. There's some fear involved, especially when you have a selling situation, huge amount of fear. And the first key is to learn how to bring down those defense barriers with this thing called establishing rapport. And I found, and this is not going to make a lot of sense, but if you're the opposite of what they expect, meaning I'd meet people who walk in my real estate office looking for a home, and right away they expect to meet someone that is going to try to push them into buying something. And I was just the opposite. I'd sit them down at my desk and I'd say, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, finding a home is a huge responsibility for you. And so I hope you'll be patient. Don't rush into anything. Let's take our time. And I found the air like in a balloon go out of it, where they just relax. They said, this man is different. He's not trying to push us. He's not being overbearing. And the empathy starts with the rapport building, where I ask them a lot of questions. Please realize that you don't get anything in life when you're telling other people. You'll get everything in life when you're asking them the right questions, and you become a wonderful listener. And again, I feel in our economy, which is coming back, all of my friends, I don't want to study the economy, Tony, but my friends that do, they say everything has the earmarkings of the 2014 and 15 really being great years. And you see, from 2002 to 2008, we had fabulous years. Then 2009, 10, and 11, we went down the supper. I mean, we just had a challenge. But now it's coming back, and now's the time to get your business in order. Don't wait for things to get better for you to get better. Get better and you'll make your life better. That's why, you know, I can tell you, Tony and I have such rapport, if you will, because we have same beliefs. And hey, work hard, do the job, serve your fellow man with benefits, and people will beat a path to your door, not just once, but for a lifetime. And always realize this, love people, folks. Don't love money. And if you love people, the money will come to you as a reward for giving service. And I wish in a way I could roll back the hands of time, Tony, and I would literally change the word salesman or saleswoman to the servant of others. Because I think we are servants more than salespeople when you really do the job right. And where your heart is right, where your love for people is right. And I learned this over the years, that if I learned more, I could serve more. And if I served more, I earned more. If I earned more, that's when you arrive. You can give more. You can give to others. You can give back, because God has blessed you with abundance. And, of course, in our country, our little country, we are little. There's, you know, 7 million, our billion people on the planet. We're only about 5% of the planet, yet our 5%, our 300 plus million, we have about 90% of the productivity. And that's why, as I travel around the world, Tony, every country I go, I'm leaving this week for Hungary. I have a big seminar in Budapest. And everywhere I go, they want to know, teach us how you Americans build businesses, how you Americans market products, how you Americans sell. And which I love, because I feel the average human being out there needs to have a teacher, a person that will help them, has empathy for them, will not only establish rapport, but help them have a better life, which, as you know, Tony, that's what my life has been dedicated to now for over three decades.
And you continue to move forward in that. And what you just spoke about, I guess I have goosebumps again. That's rare to happen, Tom. I really, really love your philosophy and your attitude. I believe exactly like you do. And to me, money is how can I make people happy? How can I help solve challenges? If I earned all the money in the world, if I became a billionaire tomorrow, I'd be trying to figure out a way to turn it into more money to help more people, to create more lives. To me, that's what it's all about. That's my philosophy. That's what I've learned over the years, and I love that. And what you have done and what you're continuing to do and moving forward with this book is phenomenal. And what we're talking about, this rapport process, I teach it, and I teach it in a way that I say, listen, become a trusted advisor. And I love the way you explained what you just explained regarding talking to a person and helping them and asking questions. Questions are guidelines. Helps you understand the person, helps you serve them better. And if you do just that, and that rapport process comes from just listening and being an attentive, caring person, people just want to know that you care.
That's right.
That's all they really want to know. And that makes all, and if they don't feel that they know, if they don't feel like you care, If they don't feel like you're there to serve them, if they feel that it's self-serving, that you're selling them, that's where that comes from. And I love what you said about saleswoman, salesman. And I say that about direct selling because there's different terms, MLM, network marketing, party plan. But to me, it always has been relationship marketing. It's all about
right.
relationships. I've
so
never closed
agree.
Anybody in my life in network marketing. I've only opened relationships. Everything started after they came into my business. That was the philosophy that helped me. Everything's practice. No one said no. It never impacted me. It's like, oh, okay, no, maybe not now. And then you move to a point where eventually the timing will get to yes. And so you have all these strategies in this book. I tell you, you know, when buyers say no, people need to get that book. Is there a particular site other than TomHopkins.com that people should go to be able to
no,
get that?
No, in fact, you know, Tony, if they just go to TomHopkins.com, and if they order the book, they can also maybe look at my whole product page. Some people love to listen in a car on a CD rather than read, so they can do that. But I'm going to autograph 10 copies of the book before I fly out to Budapest. And so those first 10 that do call and order the book, I'm going to write something nice to you and send that out. And Tony, I can't tell you what a great program this has been for me. I talk about what we talk about, and I get so excited. The enthusiasm builds, and I'll get on the plane and won't even need to fly. I'll just fly away. So thanks so much.
Oh, you are welcome. And after you come back from all these multi-country seminars you're going to be doing over the next couple months, love to have you back on the show. We also do some Google Hangouts as well, which I know you do some YouTube videos, so maybe that's a possibility. But love to, because this is so new, you're going to start getting the stories. You're going to start hearing about it. And just to come back maybe 90 days out or 6 months out and kind of go through what you've experienced from the book and what the marketplace is telling you, I think that would be a beautiful thing. And I certainly would love to open an invitation for you to come back on
any
time.
Sure, let's plan on it, Tony. I'll sure have Judy follow up with you on that.
Well, listen, thanks again. I know you're getting ready, and you fit this in last minute, so everybody knows. I mean, you're getting ready right now to go out to do seminars, and you fit this in because it was so important for me to bring you on to the listeners, and I thank you very much for honoring that. I do really much, Tom. And listen, brother, have a wonderful week. Thank you for coming on the Slight Edge Zone.
All right, Tony, thank you.
God bless you, and we'll see you soon. Thank you, guys. You're listening to the Slight Edge Zone on the Home Business Radio Network.
Helping you capture your dreams. This is the Home Business Radio Network.